Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Country Heat Weekly ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
The funny thing is, for years before he came out, it was always like the girls would like fawn over him, but then their boyfriends would like fawn over me because they're like, dude, you play guitar? Man, that's so cool. I'm like, this is backwards.
What a great way to wrap up Pride Month.
Love it.
Brothers Osborne are in the center stage spotlight this week as we bring you the last of three episodes we taped live at CMA Fest. I'm Amber Anderson.
And I'm Kelly Sutton. Thank you so much for checking out Country Heat Weekly. And if you were in the audience that day when we taped this live, then you already know the name of Brothers Osborne's next album.
And if you weren't, you're going to have to keep listening to find out.
I don't think they were supposed to tell us the name of the album, actually, but nobody told us to take it out, so no. We're leaving it in.
Mm-hmm.
Stay tuned for that. It's coming up. The guys also share a part of their history that they've never really talked about before. I mean, John and TJ spill all the tea.
All of it. And they give us the backstory on the song we've got in the Country Heat playlist, Nobody's Nobody. Mm-hmm. But more importantly, we'll get an update on John and Lucy's twin babies, Maybelle and Arthur, which we know is what everyone really wants to hear.
Yeah.
But first, we've got some country music things to catch up on.
You know, I've been kind of out of the loop. We just took a family vacation to Hawaii, so I've been gone and I'm on a different time zone. So you got to tell me what I missed.
Okay, well, starting here in the Country Heat House, Amazon Music launched a new series called Songline. And the first episode features a live set from friend of the pod, Madeline Edwards.
I love her. Okay, she's one of our Amazon Music breakthrough artists to watch of 2023, in case you forgot.
Yes, she is. Now, this show, Songlines, was taken from a songwriter's round Madeline did with Kate York and Laura Veltz. I mean, legends, at the legendary Bluebird Cafe.
Oh, I bet that was amazing.
It is. And because we have friends in high places here at Amazon Music, we've got a sneak peek for everyone to check out.
I'm just going to preface that I have actually never sung this live, apart from the record. There might be some cracks and imperfections, but that's the beautiful thing about it. So I wrote this song about my husband. Last year was a really tough year for us. He has Crohn's disease, and he was in the hospital for about 2 months. You know, as a spouse and as a wife, I want to be as supportive as I can to him. And I wanted to write him a song that showed him, you know, I'm always here for you and you can always lean on me.
Okay, putting this on my must listen list. Where do I find it?
Open your Amazon Music app.
Okay.
And just search for Madeline Edwards. It is linked right on her artist page.
I like that. Done.
Life is full of personal wins, whether it's cleaning your house, getting that dream car, or checking off your to-do list. Winning at life is a great feeling. And with the State Farm Personal Price Plan, you can keep winning when you create an affordable price just for you by bundling home and auto. So give yourself a round of applause. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Okay, I did see the news that Dan and Shay are going to be making history as the first duo judge on NBC's singing competition, The Voice. I guess instead of like turning a chair, they're now going to be turning a love seat because it's connected together.
I love your... turning a love seat. Yeah, it'll be interesting because it sounds like they have one vote
yeah.
between them. So what happens if they don't agree?
I don't know.
Like, Dan wants to turn around, but Shay's like, no, they're not that great.
I mean, that's the thing. Shay sets the bar really high for singers. So yeah. That's going to be interesting to watch. But we are going to have to wait until season 24 to find out what that looks like. We haven't even seen season 23 yet.
Right. And we are all anxiously awaiting Reba to slay that. Mm-hmm. You know, she will. It's kind of odd that they announced the cast for season 24 so early. But we're really excited to have double, or should we say triple, country representation.
Absolutely. Yeah. Love that. Okay, what else?
Well, you remember Lainey Wilson hard launched her relationship with former Steelers NFL player Duck Hodges on the ACM red carpet.
Oh, please don't tell me they broke up.
No.
Okay.
Thank goodness. No. In fact, Lainey told People magazine she's been writing a lot of love songs lately, which is something she's never been able to do before.
I am so glad to hear that. When you said it, I was like, uh-oh. I think that they've actually been together a couple years before they ever went public. Lainey said that she had to make sure that he was the right one for the right reasons before she told the whole world about him. You know what? We're just going to send this one out. You better be good to our girl, Duck, because we take care of our country music family around here. We're watching you.
That's right. That's right. We did get to talk to him.
We did.
Backstage at ACMs. I fangirled him a little bit as a Steelers fan.
Yeah.
We got a picture. He was great.
Yeah.
So he gets two thumbs up from us, Lainey. But yeah, you got to take care of our girl, Duck. And speaking of family, we've got John and TJ Osborne in their center stage spotlight live from CMA Fest coming up next.
So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code AUDIO to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code AUDIO at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code AUDIO.
This episode is brought in part to you by Audible, your go-to destination for thrilling audio entertainment. Whether you're looking for a hair-raising experience to enjoy while you're on the move or eager to dive into sinister and shocking tales, Audible has an exclusive collection of thrillers from best-selling authors that will keep you on the edge of your seat. Like James Patterson's first audio-only thriller, The Coldest Case. Experience stories like never before, where every chilling detail is brought to life by captivating sound design. Plus, as an Audible member, choose one title a month to make yours forever. And now, new members can try Audible free for 30 days. Just visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
Country music was practically built on family harmonies, going all the way back to the Carter family. Over the years, you've had Osborne brothers, we've had the Everly brothers, we've had the Kendalls and the Judds. Musical genes definitely run in the family.
And our guests today are brothers and best buds who hail from the country music hotbed that is Maryland.
They are also the reigning duo of the year, both the CMA and ACM, with 9 of those trophies between the two organizations. Plus, they've got a Grammy on their shelf as well.
Not too bad.
Yeah.
Not too bad. They're also just like the best humans.
Yes, they are.
And two of our favorite people. So y'all give a big welcome to Brothers Osborne.
I promise I won't touch your hair. You're good. Okay. You guys look fantastic. Happy CMA Fest, y'all.
Happy CMA Fest.
Yes.
All right.
Happy Pride, TJ.
It's a big week. We were backstage, and it's really dark back there, and it's so bright out here. It's quite, like, overwhelming.
I know. I need to, like...
But it's good to see y'all. This is amazing.
John's going to put his shades on.
That's okay. Yeah. That's a look. First of all, I think everybody has to know, how are the babies?
They are amazing. They're getting chubbier by the second, which I love.
Yes.
But holy hell, do they keep you busy. I was saying it's like whack-a-mole. Once you got one down, the other one's like, man, like, oh my God. You know, fine, you get that one down, the other one's like, okay, you smell like poop. Okay, now I'm going to change that diaper. So it's a lot. My sweet wife, Lucy, is there taking care of him now. So I'm just here sitting in a chair talking to people. It's great.
What would you say your dad's super skill is? Have you found one thing that you feel like you're like, I'm just really good at this?
You know, we grew up around a lot of babies. Just we have a big family, and we would hold them. And then, you know, you always kind of cradle them. You hold them like this, you know, and in front of you.
Yeah.
I realized, like, you could just hold them like a football. You know, you're like, you got the head in the hand, and you got the legs between the arm, and you're just like, it's like you're up for the Heisman Trophy or something. You're just like running around the house doing stuff. It seems highly unsafe, but for those that don't know, I'm huge, so it works out.
Is Lucy terrified that
yes.
you're running around the
house? Oh, she's terrified all the time. Yeah. Yeah.
Uncle TJ, how many diapers have you changed?
I have not. They're at the point now where their heads don't stay up, so I feel a little intimidated by holding them. The other thing, if you get to know our family, we are also very known for our clumsiness.
And big heads.
So I'm like, you know, I want to get to the age where I can toss them around.
Okay. All right. That's probably safe.
I'm just thinking about Lucy this whole time.
I know.
Her anxiety is probably like, what are you doing with my kids?
She's an amazing mother, and she's very attentive, but almost too attentive. Like, you know, I want to roll them around, do some crazy stuff. And she's like, please don't do that.
No, don't do that. Like, don't do that.
Yeah.
Let them get a little bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, CMA Fest. You guys used to come as fans, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do you have a core CMA Fest memory of the past that you can point to?
Gosh, I'm like trying to tell the story without dating myself. But, you know, John, we were from Maryland originally, as you hollered out earlier. Happy Harbor, baby. Let's go. And he's allowed to talk because he's actually wearing one of our shirts. So,
yeah.
But we, you know, I moved down here when I was 16, and John was 18 at the time.
I was 13.
I remember specifically meeting Craig Morgan and thinking like, oh my God, I cannot believe this is happening right now. And he was super nice. And then from that whole experience, he took pictures with us and signed a bunch of stuff for us. And that moment always sticks with me. You know, it's tough sometimes. You know, we always try to say hi to people. A lot of times we're usually running behind and we're really late. So we're like, sorry, we literally cannot stop and say hello. So I always try to remember that now when I'm here to try and take time to say hi to other people.
Now, you both worked at the Hall of Fame at one point, right?
Yeah we both did, yeah. Which is interesting you bring that up. I actually just saw Kyle Young last night, who runs the place. But John served in the, it was called Sobro Grill, and John served there. And then I did banquet serving there. I dressed up in a tuxedo, and I would walk around and, you know, hand people, I don't know, hors d'oeuvres or some stuff I was not allowed to eat, but I had to hold all day. Literally, as we arrived here today, one of our old coworkers who was working backstage doing banquet serving came up and said hello. So when we first got our exhibit at the Country Music Hall of Fame,
right.
It was a really amazing moment where people that we literally worked with were up there. It was kind of weird because they were working the event, which made me feel really awful. But for them, there was this massive sense of pride that, you know, we had made it from the kitchen, literally, to upstairs on the floor, another place that I was originally not allowed to go.
Yeah.
So we found
it. That's like the ultimate American dream story in a way, you know, to go from literally working in the kitchen to standing in front of, you know, a giant glass display case with our guitars and our clothes and stuff in there.
That is so cool. And when you were standing there, was there one piece of memorabilia that you put in that exhibit that really typified the moment when you knew you'd made it?
I think just being in the exhibit, you know, was a really, really cool moment, especially seeing it around with other iconic people. You're like, to be in that group and to be considered and to see your clothes in there. And, you know, now it's a little different. But when we first got asked to do it, John and I were just started making some money, but we didn't have money really. And so we were like, we do get these things back, right? Like, I don't actually want to give you that guitar. I want the guitar back.
Yeah, well, for me, it was definitely a guitar, because being a musician first, walking through the Country Music Hall of Fame, I always was like, man, I just want to reach in there and grab that guitar and see how it plays and be a part of it. And then so it was a high, high honor to have, you know, an instrument in there amidst all of these very iconic instruments that we've seen over the years.
So cool. And one last question about CMA Fest. Is there a specific, I mean, I don't know, maybe a fan interaction or even just a moment as performers that really sticks out?
Well, certainly the first time we played the stadium. And so that's another really amazing experience, as I'm sure you all have got to witness with people that you're fans of, starting off at these little tiny stages, and then you get up to the next stage, and next thing you're in the stage in front of Bridgestone, and now you're on the stage on the riverfront, and you're like, oh my God. But really, your whole dream is to make it across the river and play the stadium. And when that moment happened, it was actually, I can almost cry talking about it now. When I was just there and the people were there, it was definitely, you know, our lives are so like, chase, go, 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 achieve, achieve, achieve. But to sit there in a moment and actually be like, wow, we did it. We are here. It was almost like, I almost had to be like, I got to restart the song. It was like, I'll never forget it. It really was, it was incredible.
It's like climbing this ladder, and every rung, it just gets a little bit steeper, a little bit steeper, and then we finally made it to the stadium. By the way, side note, I don't know if we like was just, Chris Stapleton had to pull out because I think he broke his finger or something like that. So, Chris Stapleton, thank you for breaking your finger. That's why we got to play the stadium show.
It's true.
I did know.
So if you want to break another finger, we'll gladly play the Grammys, you know, whatever.
We got stand-ins.
Yeah, exactly.
Stapleton stand-ins.
So we have music news to share. You guys are working on the fourth studio album. Where are we on that process? Like, what's happening?
It's completely finished. It's all ready to roll. And we're just slowly rolling it out. And We have our first single out now called Nobody's Nobody, and we released three other tracks. I think beyond that, I don't know. It's hard.
We don't know what the hell we're doing.
But and we'll be kind of trickling some new tunes as it comes out. But we worked with a new producer named Mike Elizondo, who's got a very long history in the music business. Everywhere from, I mean, literally doing the music from like Encanto to Disney, to working with Dr. Dre and Eminem Records, and he just does it all, really.
That's cool.
An incredibly nice guy. And so we thought, you know, let's work with someone who can challenge us musically and see what we come up with. We wanted to change it up, it being our fourth studio record. So we're really excited to have some new music out there, and there's a ton left to be released, and we're just chomping at the bit to get it out there.
We're excited too.
You guys have lived a lot of life since the last album. TJ coming out publicly, you becoming a dad.
Yeah.
How has that all influenced this new music?
Well, becoming a dad, I was like, okay, we gotta write songs that make a lot of money. Because they're so expensive! The amount of money you spend before they're even in the world. Like, they're not here yet. We need all this stuff. Apparently you do, and then you need more once they come around. So, no, I'm joking, obviously, about the needing money. But, I mean, I do have a GoFundMe. I'll send you guys the link. No, I mean, in all seriousness, life reflects art. Art reflects life. And they speak to each other, and they should, right? I mean, art is simply a reflection of life and your reality and the things that you've done and the places that you've been. Otherwise, like, why are you doing it? For me, having kids and growing into yourself, it gives you a fresher perspective on things. It kind of, like, these kids do not care. Like, you win an award, I don't care, I'm hungry. You did this, you got a number one, I don't care, wipe my butt. Like, they don't care. And in a way, it's actually rather freeing, because three now, including my wife, but now the two most important people in my lives, all they care about is just, you know, me being there and me being a person. And now that reflects my creative self a lot, because it's not about grandeur, and it's not about the awards, it's not about the stuff. It's just about being myself, and that's the most important part.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point to wrap it up in being yourself, and that was a big thing for me, I think. You know, just all of us as individuals, we go through our lives trying to be what we think other people want us to be. And as you're an artist, it's like that is like multiplied by a million. You're constantly guessing what other people are going to think, what other people are going to like. And as we grow into our careers, it's not that I don't care about that, because I certainly do. But I think there just becomes a priority on what it is that brings me joy and brings me happiness and being okay with being myself, even beyond my sexuality. I think both of us are at a point where we really trust ourselves more than we ever did before, We would really lean on other people's opinion. And it might change it for the better, but it could also change it for the worse. So
yeah.
I thought, I would rather be in a position to where I just trust myself, trust my own instincts. I will lean on other people when I'm confused or a little lost. And that is, I think, where we're at now with this project.
Yeah.
All right. Do you want to break some news and tell everybody what the name of it's going to be?
Hang on. They're clapping.
Yeah, it was good, right?
You know they're clapping. Yeah.
You know, this is performing 101. Once they clap, you don't interrupt it.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
In fact, you encourage it.
He wants more clapping.
See?
All right. Lively crowd.
I am so sorry.
It fills that narcissism tank. I love it.
The journalist in me is like, give us the scoop. What's the name
of
this
album? The scoop.
I want to know. I'm always trying to get
the
scoop.
And mine is, fill my ego.
Speaking of ego, we've actually self-titled the record.
Is that ego?
Yeah, we have, We did. We did. We thought, and that was the thing, to springboard off of what I just said last, is we've always kind of had a little bit of like this... really kind of this intentional kind of veil and some mystery there. And we thought, let's lean into it. Let's really put ourselves out there. Time will tell, but we really think that this will be our defining record. So we just thought, let's if there's a time to self-title it, it's now.
This is a trend.
I love that.
Because we talked to, I think it was like Russell Dickerson.
Brandy Clark. Yeah.
About being like 3 to 4 records in and then doing the self-title.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I think we're going to have to change it. Honestly.
No, but I love that though. No,
I love it on trend. It's
well,
good.
I think it's a couple things. One, it's just hard to title things. Literally, our name is Brothers Osborne. We just took another band's name and flipped the words around. So we're not that creative. And our last name is Osborne and we're brothers. I mean, just come on. Like, believe it or not, we're the ones writing songs. Oh, my God. Part of the process of being in the studio, putting records out, playing them in front of audiences, learning what people love, meeting all the fans, knowing what they love, them giving you the feedback, it all goes into this, like, crazy concoction, and then out comes you. And I think that's why people wait a few albums to self-title, because you're not who you are on album one. You just aren't. You will learn so much by being on the road and being in the studio, and it just seemed fitting for us to do that.
How do you break a tie? Is it flip a coin? Is it, it has to be unanimous? How does it work?
Are you trying to start an argument right now?
We punch each other in the face.
Yeah, just literally. Poking the bear. Poking the bear.
I mean, that's originally, honestly, why we started co-writing with other people, literally. Was
really?
Because it just helped us not argue. And through that, we've worked with some amazing songwriters who really have changed our lives. But that can be challenging. When John and I were younger, we would always think of how many buttons can I press to piss him off right now.
He was really good at it.
Yeah, there's a lot of buttons. Now it's the opposite. It's like, how do I not press any of those and get our point across? Mainly,
he's getting better at it.
I am getting better. Yeah,
yeah.
It's still a work in progress, but that's a challenging time because the thing is, this is the first time we probably talked about it publicly for no reason, then it just never was relevant. But there was a time where John and I weren't really getting along very well, and which was really not normal for us. And we saw a couples therapist. It was extremely helpful.
Yeah.
It really was. And, the guy sat down and he's like, you guys aren't getting along right now because you really care so much. It'd be one thing if one of you didn't give a shit, that would be a problem. But he's like, you're fighting because you both care about, you want it to be the best. And I think now knowing that, I know when he's giving me opposition or I'm giving him opposition, it's really because we want the best for our music and for us. And so seeing it through that lens and trying to, see what happens. The other thing is just trying it. When someone's like, I got an idea, instead of saying, I don't like that idea, let's just do it and see what happens. and then it'll all come out in the wash.
It's really, really hard when you're right all the time. So
hold on, I think Lucy's calling me right now. Oh, I don't know. What was that? He's not right all the time. Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah,
exactly.
Nice try.
Someone who's right all the time to scout you.
Jumping back into new music, the new single, Nobody's Nobody. Give us a story of how that song came to life.
Yeah, so we wrote that with Kendall Marvel, who we've written a lot of songs with. You can applaud for Kendall Marvel.
Yes.
He's awesome. Come on now. Show that man some love. But but we wrote it with Kendall and Mike Elizondo, and we started writing a song. You know, the song we wrote previous to that was Younger Me. We ended up winning a Grammy. But all the songs we've written before that are like, you know, about fighting and drinking and stuff. And we were like, I think we kind of want to, you know, I think we're growing up a little bit, Kendall. We have to start being adults at some point. So we wrote Younger Me. So we're like, I think we've got a vibe going on here. And we started writing another song about drinking and fighting and stuff, and didn't work out. And we went outside just to kind of break up the monotony. We came back in, and our producer, Mike, he was playing that very beginning intro part, which is, I want to say it's like a Fender Rhodes with a delay on it. So it's like, I'm like, man, that sounds awesome. What is that? He's like, I don't know. I just started playing it. And then Kendall was like, well, I've got this title called Nobody's Nobody. And we're like, why didn't you say that the first time? That's amazing. And we just sat down and, you know, we banged our heads against a wall trying to write the previous idea. Because here's the thing. Sometimes songs just want to be written and sometimes they don't. And in that moment, Nobody's Nobody wanted to be written because we wrote it in probably 45 minutes. It just fell out. And we knew once we were done, like, we were onto something really special because, you know, it's uplifting, it sounds commercial, but it also has a message. And, you know, my brother and I just love deeper messages and deeper meanings and things that have a much wider scope. And when we got done with the recording, it was quite obvious to us that's how we wanted to lead this album.
You guys are working the summer festivals hard. The circuit is like, I'm looking at this and going, wow, you're going to be on the road a lot. So do you guys share a bus? How does that work?
Yeah, we have a bus for that John and I have that's ours, which is it's really quite comical because we've shared a room our entire lives and have slept in bunk beds.
Your dad told me about the bunk beds. I remember.
You know, there was a moment where we didn't do this, but now we're back on bunk beds again on this bus.
It's hilarious.
You know, we spent years being in a 12-passenger van. Get done with the show, you pack up and drive all night to go to the next show, and it's fun. But it beats you up. And so when you get a bus, it's just like, what the hell? I can't believe it. And the fact that we're now on our own bus is pretty insane, especially now with the babies coming. I will be like, hey, what about us not being on the same bus? No. But no, I'm actually really, really looking forward to it because it's, you know, a family affair up there.
It's kind of amazing, though. We got to design it, which it seems a bit, because what typically happens is artists start out on like one bus and then they get a thing called star coach, which I hate that term. Star coach. Like, I am so important. It's a bus with a bed in it. Get over yourself. But anyway, I'm like, so they would have one giant king bed in the back. And right. I'm like, that's kind of weird if my brother and I shared. I mean, we did go to couples therapy, but we're not going to be sharing a bed
right.
in the back of this bus. So what do? I'm like, well, we'll sleep in bunk beds again, dude. That's what we did until I graduated high school. We'll sleep in bunk beds. And they built it out so they're like a little bit wider so we feel like we have some room and some comfort. And we have six other smaller bunks for when we have visitors because we do have a lot of family and our partners come out and all that stuff. But it's pretty amazing.
Okay, so this episode is going to air at the end of Pride Month. And I can only imagine the stories, the comments, people that have probably been reaching out to you since you've publicly come out. Talk to us about sitting and understanding the impact that you're having on so many people that see themselves in you.
I don't really think I do quite understand the impact of it. I get told from people, and it is a great reminder. You know, what was really interesting at the time when that happened, people were like, we don't care, just shut up and sing, and which is, when it's so funny when you get told to shut up and sing, because that's actually impossible.
It's an oxymoron.
You're like, I cannot shut up and sing at the same time. It's just not how that works. But anyhow, Some people are like, no one cares, no one cares. To me, I'm like, that's fine. I would love for no one to care. You know, really, that doesn't hurt my feelings. That's encouraging if that's true. The fact is that that just isn't true. I could go on and on about it, but I, without a doubt, I'm by far the happiest I've ever been in my life. And
so happy.
Thank you. And I really feel at peace with myself for the first time, truly.
That's amazing. We just had Brandi Clark come in and chat with us, and we were talking about a lot of things. And one of the things that we asked her, and I want to ask you as well, is what can Nashville do better? What can country music do better to help support LGBTQ? Like, what needs to happen? Because the conversation is happening, but what can we do that would make it even move faster?
It's really tough. It's such like a very broad
right.
thing, and it's different for every single person. You know, because one thing that's really interesting for me that it took me a second that I had to acknowledge at first, while it was tough for me in so many ways, I also have a lot of privileges in the gay community, of me being particularly straight passing. Now, the awkward part of this is that I still every day have to come out to people, and especially since I'm with someone whose name is Abby, I'm like, they always think it's a girl, and then I'm like, this is so awkward, I don't know how to get out of what's happening right now, and it's really truly uncomfortable. Not that it doesn't make me upset or mad at all, it's just kind of like when someone's calling you the wrong name and you're like, that's not my name, I don't know if I should correct you or not, I feel like when I do you're going to feel bad and I don't want you to feel bad. And so I'm just going to let you call me the wrong name for the whole conversation.
The funny thing is, for years before he came out, it was always like the girls would like fawn over him. But then their boyfriends would like fawn over me because they're like, dude, you play guitar? Man, that's so cool. I'm like, this is backwards. Okay. All right, well, I'll take what I can get.
Oh, my God.
But to your question, it's... I don't even know how to answer it other than just be there when you're needed and show your support and speak up for people when they need it. Because it's, you know, just truly having allies and people that speak up for people and support people and just let people wave their flag, whatever flag that is super, super important.
Yeah. Well, we are so proud of you.
Yes.
Thank you.
We are so proud
Same.
Of you.
Thanks.
Representation matters. It's super important. We love it. Okay. We're going to wrap up like we always do. You've played this with us before. John, this is your first time. So
you ready?
We love to play Burning Questions. Burning Questions. It's rapid fire. It's what puts the heat in country heat.
Uh-oh.
You can both answer. You can both answer.
Okay.
Most bougie thing on your rider.
We actually do not have a bougie rider. We keep it very, very simple.
I mean, Herradura tequila is a little bit expensive. But we're pretty simple people.
Yeah, I would say tequila. It's like $50.
The only
it's
thing that crazy. Is a must on the rider, just Coors Light. We're simple. Yeah. We're so boring, I'm sorry.
Chips and it's like literally chips and salsa, peanut M&M's, bottles of water, and booze. That's literally it. Like, truly. I'm not kidding.
So if you're throwing a party for them, there you go. Make sure you've got all those things. Favorite musical duo of all time?
Oh, God, that's hard to say. I don't know why immediately just Brooks and Dunn comes to mind. They're just the best.
Yeah.
We like to talk about all these trophies you've been collecting. Where do you display your awards?
I have all of my awards down in a music room of my house. However, I still am basking in the glory of our Grammy win, so I put that in the living room.
Amen.
Yes.
As you should.
John?
As you should.
Oh my God! I wish you could see this. Mine is like kind of a dim music area. It's not like the first thing you see when you walk in the door. It's the second thing you see. But but there's a shelf where I have them all up. But we're converting this room into like a kids' room. So right now there are literally kids' toys in front of all of them.
Oh!
I'm serious. I am not lying. These kids are so spoiled.
Okay, international venue that you want to play or play again?
Royal Albert Hall, I think I'd really like
That'd
to play
be
that.
Amazing.
We haven't done that yet. I think that's kind of next for us. That'll probably be next.
Wembley Stadium would be rad too.
Ooh, that'd be good.
Yeah. I like that.
And because this is an Amazon music podcast, what is the last thing you bought on Amazon?
I buy so many things on Amazon. Do you ever do this? Like, you buy so many things and you try to like not let your brain remember what's in that box so you can be surprised by
it.
Do you do that?
All the time.
Like, don't think about it.
Yeah.
Just open it.
I bought a foot massager.
I love he's laughing.
I did. I was thinking, I was like, oh my God, this is the most embarrassing thing ever. Well, okay. I love my wife so much, but she's tiny and her hands are small. My feet are big and she sucks at massaging my feet. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to go on Amazon for $350 and buy this amazing foot massager. So that's what I bought. I don't. If you would ask me prior to that, it would have been baby formula. But yeah, it's a foot massager.
Hey, I don't care how much you paid for it. It's worth every penny to not have her
do that.
Massage your feet.
For her.
Because if you approach her, a mama two right now with twins at home, and you say, rub my feet, that ain't going to go over well, John.
This is true. This is true.
That's
You're
not
right,
go over
Kelly.
Well.
I'm sorry.
I'm glad you bought that.
That's going to help you.
For her, really.
Yeah, that's the right answer.
Yeah, yes. I bought it for her.
I bought this for you.
Amazon saving your marriage.
That's right.
It's great.
Guys, thank you so much for coming and doing
thank
this
you.
With us.
Oh,
we love you.
We really adore you guys.
Fourth album is on the way. Brothers Osborne, everybody.
Let's go. Applaud louder. Fill the ego.
They're such hams,
yeah.
Especially John, which you kind of wouldn't expect.
I mean, you think he's the quiet one, and you would be wrong.
No.
You would be wrong. We love those guys so very much. I love that they gave us the scoop that their next album is going to be self-titled. So you heard it here first. Do we actually know when this album is going to be released?
We might, but I don't think we're allowed to tell.
Okay.
Per usual.
I need some milestones. I need to know, like, is it going to happen before?
It is not going to happen before the 4th of July.
Before Christmas?
I mean, things could always change, but I have heard yes before Christmas.
Okay. Well, that's good. And speaking of the 4th of July, we caught up with Brad Paisley last week and asked him about headlining Let Freedom Sing, Nashville's annual 4th of July celebration. Take a listen.
You know, look, 4th of July is a tricky thing. When we learned a long time early on, like, don't try to sell tickets on the 4th of July. Nobody wants to pay to go to a concert. So it's really fun to give back and just let this be free and play the town I live in. And let everybody just sort of celebrate the fact that this is where we live. It's a great place.
Well, Brad's not the only one spending 4th of July downtown with a crowd. You're hosting the event again this year, correct?
I am.
Yay.
I can't remember how many years I've actually done this now, but I'm going to say 6, possibly, maybe 7 years that I've had a chance to host this for the city. It's so much fun. The lineup is incredible. We've got Ben Rector. The War and Treaty are going to be playing. You know how much we love them. Tiara Kennedy is going to be out there. As always, massive fireworks display. And the Grammy-winning Nashville Symphony will be playing live with the fireworks. It is something to behold. Make sure that you can come down and see it if you're in town. What are you going to be doing for the 4th of July?
I think I'm keeping it low-key. It's been a busy, busy 2 months with a lot of travel.
Yes.
I'm typically at a baseball game somewhere, but this year I actually live downtown now and we have a great view of the fireworks. So I think I'm just going to have some friends over and watch the fireworks.
That's fun.
Really low key.
All right.
I do not want to be in the crowd.
Well, everyone who is watching or listening all over America, happy Independence Day to all of us. Make good choices. Make sure that you are safe with your fireworks. Make sure that you're hydrating. If you're going to dehydrate with drinking, then make sure that you're hydrating. And absolutely no drinking and driving.
Kelly always coming through with the mom advice.
It's what I do.
Always.
Yes. And to all of our British friends out there, you can't win them all. but we really hope that you like country music. And that's what we can give you as our export in exchange for our freedom. So thank you very much and have a great Tuesday.
Oh, my gosh. I love you so much. We'll be back after the holiday with a new episode of Country Heat Weekly, where we'll be catching up with Kimberly Perry, talking about both her solo career and her impending motherhood.
Yeah. And she has now finally moved to Nashville. We need to see how she's liking it here in the 615.
I know.
Okay.
I know.
Well, we'll talk to you then.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Country Heat Weekly ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at listenerstudy.com.
Hey, this is Dan Harris, host of the 10% Happier podcast, where twice a week I speak to meditation teachers, top research scientists, and even the odd celebrity about how to do life better. And on a recent episode, I spoke to the huge global pop star Dua Lipa about how she does her own life. What are the non-negotiable practices and principles for her? We talked about everything from radical optimism to her work ethic to her incredibly packed schedule and how she fits in things like meditation. The episode is incredible and actually quite practical, especially when it comes to creativity. Follow 10% Happier on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to this episode everywhere on May 10th, or you can listen early and ad-free on Wondery Plus right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.